eyes, O Lord, save me, my God, deliver.
Welcome to The Firmly Planted Tree, a podcast dedicated to the reading of the Psalms for strength in our daily walk and to delight in the law of the Lord. I'm Joey Hawkins, and like the tree planted by the waters, may God's word establish you in righteousness.
The Lord alone deliverance sends, no other source of help have we.
Psalm 27 of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, O Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. What is the ingredient that David has? The secret sauce, you might say. What makes David a man after God's own heart? You're all familiar with that phrase, and I was familiar with it as well. It's interesting when you sort of refresh yourself where it comes from. It comes very early in David's ministry, before we even meet David, as a matter of fact. I shouldn't say ministry, in when we introduce him as a character, even in the biblical narrative. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, when Saul has now disobeyed the Lord and the command that he was given through Samuel, and Samuel comes to him. He has spared Agag, the Amalekite. He has spared the best of the flocks and of their treasures instead of devoting them to destruction as the Lord had commanded. And so now in his disobedience, he comes before Samuel and reasons with him. And Samuel speaks to him and says at this point that the kingdom will be taken away from him. It's a dramatic scene. And in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, Samuel says to King Saul, "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." Now, obviously, that process was not as easy as simply going and anointing another king. As a matter of fact, as Samuel goes and does that in 1 Samuel 14, it's at the risk of starting civil war, certainly. Paul echoes this when he preaches in Antioch and Pisidia in his early missionary journeys. And he speaks of the history of Israel, and he says this, echoing again what Samuel said, "And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will." So what is it? What is that difference? Is it simply because you have kept what the Lord has commanded you, as it says in 1 Samuel 13, verse 14? Well, we know from David's life that he did not keep all the commands of the Lord. On the contrary, he broke many of them. And yet, what is the difference that makes him the man after God's own heart who will, as Paul says, do all my will? Look again at Psalm 27. What is this secret ingredient? Is it verse 1? Courage. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? Is it unassailable hope that he will be victorious? In verse 2, when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Is it this idea that he will be victorious over those who oppose him? Is it confidence against overwhelming odds? Verse 3, though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. It's incredible to read that verse that against unassailable odds, that there's no chance you could win, that there is no fear, there is confidence. Is it a desire to dwell in the house of God, the tabernacle and the temple? One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Is it a desire to sing? He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift, or pardon me, verse 6. I'm reading the wrong verse here. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy, and I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Is it a willingness to learn? Verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path. Is it a hope for the future? I believe I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord. Verse 13, in the land of the living. Is it a willingness to wait? Verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. All good things, all good things. The thing I keep coming back to in my study of the life of David, and of course, currently I'm preaching through starting 1 Samuel and preaching through the life of David. The thing I keep coming back to, the thing that makes the difference, the secret sauce, if you will, is found in verse 7 through 9. Of Psalm 27. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. Verse 8, seek my face, the Lord says. And David says, your face, Lord, do I seek. If there's one thing I see consistently throughout David's life, it is a constant, consistent repentance. Unlike Saul, he did not argue, cajole, wiggle, blame shift, come up with excuses when confronted with his sin, because David's sins were many. But he repents. When God says, seek my face, David says, your face, Lord, do I seek. I think that is the thing that makes the biggest difference. We lose track of this in all these other things, confidence, strength, a desire to praise and sing, willingness to learn, hope and confidence in the future, persistent waiting, all good things. But outside of repentance, they don't mean much of anything. That is ultimately all the will of God, that we would turn to Jesus Christ in repentance and seek his face. O Lord, you have said, seek my face, and our hearts say to you, seek your face, have I sought. And as it says in the Gospel of John, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have sought God's face, and God gave us his face in his Son, Jesus Christ. I pray you have a blessed week, and may God establish you like a firm tree by streams of righteousness and peace. Thank you for listening. Find us online under The Firmly Planted Tree, where we can further continue our discussion. And please consider sharing this podcast and leaving a review. And may the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
A joyful noise to make. Oh, come with thanks his presence to. With joyful song.